You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. Dave, I've been saying it all along that the, you know, Vegas had like the perfect storm. They had so many guys had career highs that year. Then, you know, they had this emotional connection to their city. Well, now Seattle basically is getting started off in the exact opposite way. They've got four regulars now who are supposed to be in their lineup tonight, and they're not going to play due to COVID protocol.
Yeah, that's not ideal at all. Hopefully they're back sooner than later. And as I understand, everybody's vaccinated on Seattle, so that is a good sign. It's just not ideal, though, because you'd like to be able to ice your ideal lineup heading into the first game of the regular season. They're not able to do that at this point. I just hope for Seattle and for the fans out there that the expectations are being set properly. And I think, you know, from within the organization, they are Ron Francis, Dave Haxtell. I just hope people don't measure them to what Vegas did 4 years ago, and anything less would be considered a disappointment, because that was unrealistic. I mean, that was a once-in-a-lifetime situation, if not more than that, what Vegas was able to do. And, you know, at this point, I think Seattle really has done everything right since they got the team. They rolled out their approach, some of the initiatives that they're involved in, the jerseys, the color scheme, everything I think they've done right. So you just hope that if the season, in terms of what happens on the ice, doesn't go exactly how everybody hopes it would, that it's not viewed under or through a lens of disappointment. It's viewed realistically, which is to say that you're an expansion team, and it takes a little bit of time to build a contender. The funny thing is, though, Jason, I don't know about you, but the thing that benefits them being in that Pacific Division, it's wide open right now. So if they do get out to a good start and put something together, they could well be in the mix. And I wouldn't say that about them if they were in any other division.
What about the Flames? Do you have any love for that group?
No, not really, to be honest with you. And I don't know
as
if
a
that
playoff?
Sounds too... No, I don't. Like, I don't know how they're going to score often enough. You know, Monahan, Gaudreau, Tkachuk, Lindholm, I guess, those are where the goals are going to have to come from. But I don't think they're going to play an up-tempo style. I think they're going to win, if they're going to win games, a lot of them are going to be 2-1, you know, 3-2 type of games. Jacob Markstrom, I think, is going to be is going to need to be really good, be sort of circa 2019-20 Jacob Markstrom with the Canucks. But I don't see it from that team. Like, I've got Vegas ahead of them. I got Edmonton ahead of them. I think Vancouver has a better opportunity, to be ahead of them. And I think the LA Kings as well, will be in the mix. We'll play an up-tempo style. I think they got more talent on that roster. I would put them ahead of Calgary at this point. So, I'll put it this way. I would not put a bet on Calgary making the playoffs if we were forced to put money down today.
Dave McCarthy from Sirius XM joins us. And Dave, looking at the Toronto Maple Leafs, Austin Matthews' wrist is not ready to go to start the season. Obviously, I think it's smart to err on the side of caution with him. And injuries seem to be the only reason why Matthews isn't a 50-goal scorer, and which sucks, because for somebody who likes to see the league's best players play, I hope he can. Is there any concern in Toronto just about, you know, the availability consistently of Austin Matthews?
No, I think that's part of why they're erring on the side of caution this week and not jamming him into the lineup on Wednesday against the Montreal Canadiens. He played, by and large, last season while managing that wrist injury. He only missed four games, so... You know, by and large, he was relatively available for them, and he still had 41 goals in 52 games. That's while managing an injury that ultimately he required surgery to remedy. So you think about what he's capable of. If he could be available every night and be unencumbered from whatever the ailment was exactly that was bothering him, like, we know it was his wrist, but like to what extent was it bothering him, and was it hampering what he was able to do? That's why they're being cautious right now, and it makes sense. as Sheldon Keefe said yesterday, look, they had him go through the process of having the surgery and the recovery. They don't want to curtail that progress and derail it by getting him in the lineup too early. They underwent that process because they want him to be at 100% when he's in the lineup every night, and that's why they're taking their time. So disappointing. I know there were a lot of fans who wanted to see him in the lineup right away, but expected right now he'll miss the first three games, and then we'll reevaluate his availability come Monday. The thing is, though, in the Atlantic, it's not like the Pacific, boys. You got to get out to a good start, and you're going to need to have to be good most of the year, because there's a lot of teams in that division that I think will be sniffing around for a playoff spot. So the last thing, if you're the Leafs, you want to get out to a bad start where you go, like, you know, 2-6-2 over the first 10 games, and then suddenly you want to talk about panic time coming off what happened last year. That would not be ideal.
We're talking with Dave McCarthy from SiriusXM, NHL host here on TSN 1260. He's Jason Gregor. I'm Jason Stradwick. McCarthy, Nick Suzuki signed a long-term deal. You know, is he now going to be a long-term solution for them with the center position they needed? And B, do they sign this deal because of what happened back and forth between them and Carolina the last couple of years?
Can you imagine if he got to restricted free agency and Carolina did that again? That would have been something else. But you never know with the love loss between those two teams. I think it's good that Mark Bergevin got out in front of it in this case. And quite frankly, you know, Gregor and I talk about this all the time on my show, and I'm with him every time he says it, that, you know, these eight-year deals, typically you kind of swallow your tongue a little bit at times. But if I'm ever willing to give a guy 8 years, it's when he's 21, 22, and he's given me a really good look of what this guy is, what he's going to be all about, rather than when you're 27, 28, and you're going to be on the books until you're 35, 36. So in Nick Suzuki's case, I think he took tremendous strides last year in terms of solidifying his position. I think he took on some heavy minutes last year, and he played quite well. And the opportunity is there for him to continue to get better. I sat down with him a month ago at the NHL's Player Media Tour, and, you know, I was just struck by the maturity of this young man. Getting the opportunity to go on a run last year, being a young guy, he said, look, that's experience. You know that we didn't win it. He said, that's experience that I'm really going to be able to put to use. Because a lot of guys, you know, get to their late 20s, early 30s. They haven't even gone on a run in the Cup. Like, look at here in Toronto. John Tavares has only once made it out of the first round. And he's you know, knocking on 30's door, if not 30 already. So, you know, you look at Nick Suzuki, he's already got that wealth of experience for him to draw on. And I think he is the type of guy that is going to find a way to draw on it. So I think when you look at the deal, 8 years, I'm okay with that. And 7.8 or whatever it is, 7.8 and change, has an opportunity to really punch above that salary class if he can continue to develop and progress the way Montreal feels he can. And I think the way we probably all agree that he should, down the road, that could look like a, you know, I don't know, say Nathan MacKinnon type contract right now, but a pretty darn equitable contract for the Montreal Canadiens.
I look at Nick Suzuki and because I look at Nick Suzuki and it's funny, his contract extension is very similar if you prorate just the percentage of cap when he signed his deal to what Ryan Nugent-Hopkins signed when he signed his for $6 million. And everyone's like, oh yeah, it's going to be a great deal. Well, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins had one, maybe 2 years where you'd say, hey, you know what? He lived up to that contract. And, you know, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins in his first season in the NHL had 52 points in 62 games, which is a better pace than Suzuki had last year in his second NHL season. I like Suzuki. He's a little thicker though than Nugent-Hopkins. So, and you're right, Dave, yeah, about his playoff stuff, but I still think it's kind of a gamble to go there because, like, is Nick Suzuki, like, he's basically an $8 million player. Is he going to be a legit number one center? Like, if he's a legit number one, like, is he a 70-point number one center. You know what I mean? Like, it's just such a drop off to some of the guys who I think are legit number ones that get why Montreal does it. But I saw so many people saying this is going to be a steal. If Nick Suzuki lives up to this contract, it'll be very, I think that's a benefit to Montreal because I think it's a tough contract to live up to.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's an element of risk anytime that you sign a guy to a long-term deal. So I grant you that, but I think, you know, a lot of times you have to be willing to take that risk, make an educated gamble, so to speak. And what we saw out of Nick Suzuki last year suggests to me, not just what we saw on the ice, but his approach off the ice, the maturity of the young man, and all of that. It's all part of the package. And to me, it seems like it's a logical choice to take that kind of a gamble. I mean, you're right. He is a thick guy. He's got a low center of gravity, which might be conducive to taking on some heavier minutes. Maybe unlike a guy like Nugent Hopkins, who was a bit lanky, right, when he came into the league, and he got eaten up by some bigger boys back when the Pacific had a lot of those guys, like the Getzlaffs and the Kopitars when he came into the league, and all of that. But with Nick Suzuki, I think he can be a number one center. And, you know, number one centers don't all need to be Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews, where they're scoring 45 goals a year or 100 and change points. Like, I think we'd all sit here and agree Patrice Bergeron is a number one center, right? Well, he typically comes in around 70, 75 points. He's not the most offensively dynamic guy, but he's a number one center in my mind. And I think that's sort of where Nick Suzuki's game is going to trend to me. I think he's got similar characteristics to that of Bergeron. And if he can become even 85, 90% of what Bergeron is all about, I think 7.8 is fair for that.
The Carlisle Avalanche to me are like that beautiful car. I love everything about it. They're getting their big D-man back. Like, everything just looks right. If there is a weakness, if you feel there's a weakness for the Colorado Avalanche and what I think should be a Stanley Cup campaign for them, what is it?
Yeah, it's like that beautiful car. You say it looks great, but it always tends to be in the shop, right? and that's no good. And I'll tell you where the concern is for me is the netminding right now. I'm not very confident with the netminding. Like, if Darcy Kemper can stay healthy, he has shown that he has been an above-average NHL netminder. He hasn't done it an awful lot, though. There's not a huge track record with which to draw on there. And he tends to have a hard time getting through an 82-game season. Pavel Francouz, there's no track record there, whatever. And he's always hurt, and he's hurt again in camp. So, what does that equate to? It equates to being in the shop all the time, essentially, right? To the car analogy. So everything else I love, the forwards, I think they got a good mix. The D, I think Joe Sakic did a really good job of identifying some areas of weakness, of need. In other words, they needed some size on that back end last year. They got caved in by Vegas. And they went out and they addressed it with guys like, Johnson, and they brought in McDermott. And there's another guy they brought in that I can't quite think of off the top of my head. But I like what they did on the back. I thought they identified an area of weakness and they addressed it. But goaltending to me, man, if you can't get a save consistently, you're in deep, deep trouble in this league, and you certainly can't go on a run for a Stanley Cup. So that, to me, would be the area that concerns me for this Colorado team.
Davey, always good to catch up with you. I appreciate your time. We will talk to you next week. We'll have a load of week of games to discuss.
Looking forward to it, boys. Be well.